Oh yeah, welcome on in. It's your boy KV coming at you from my Soul Renegade Sound Studios here in Minneapolis. I'm welcoming you to the Ken Valdez Approach. Y'all, I cannot wait to introduce you to my friend Tommy Baldwin. I met Tommy a few years back, and I'll tell you, man, I think the world of him. Every time that we've talked, every time that we've had a chance to hang out, I've always been taken back by his demeanor, by his candor, by his likability. He's such a good guy, right? And then you listen to him play, and he blows minds. The guy is so good. He's so good. You know, you hear those child prodigies who just kind of pick something up when they're so young, and then they're light years beyond everybody else. That's Tommy. As a matter of fact, by the time he was 12 years old, he was a full-time gigging musician. And he's one of those guys that doesn't let genre define him. He just takes it all in, man, all those styles, and creates something very unique. He's definitely won me over, man, and I'm not alone. Legendary King's X bass player and frontman Doug Pinnick is also a very, very dear friend and a mentor of sorts to Tommy. Man, we're going to be talking about so very much, but enough with me babbling. Let me go ahead and get you guys acquainted with my friend, Mr. Tommy Baldwin, right here on The Approach. I hope you all enjoy it. Hey, I am here with Tommy Baldwin, my buddy. How are you, bro?
Good, man. How are you, brother?
Oh, man. Well, truth be told, I'm battling COVID. Yeah. Man. So I'm feeling all right, man. Lucky me. I got dealt a very mild case. But yeah, man, it's something, man. It's something. And I definitely feel for those that got it a lot worse than I did, you know. But I'm feeling all right, man. Just kind of, you know, kicking it at home. Able to talk to you, which is fine because we're on the interwebs. So
you're looking great.
Likewise. Yeah. Don't stop. Yeah, man. What's new with you? What's going on with you, brother?
Well, my daughter turned one today, so that's cool.
Dude, that's right. Like, our daughters are the same age. My daughter turned one, in May. So, nice. Yeah, so we're right there. Ah, that's great. I totally forgot about that. That's great, man. Well, congratulations and happy birthday.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, brother. Yeah. How's the music treating you, man? You just got off a gig. So
really good. Oh, yeah. You can tell my face a little red. I've been out in the heat today.
Nice, man. Nice. Tommy is one of the hardest working musicians, man. Every time I see any status updates on his socials or whatever, it's always like, hey, I'm playing.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, man. Well, yeah, that's what you're doing, man. And I mean, yeah. Tell me about it, man. Tell me about your gigs. Tell me what's going on.
Yeah. So I'm in the Indianapolis area, and I absolutely love Indy. It's hard kind of for original music, though, but I just do it anyways. And no offense to anybody at all, but I'll go, yeah, you know, I'll do a couple cover tunes. And I'm like, okay, cool. And then we get in there like, kind of not really. but the music is very relative to, like, you know, the blues, the rock, the Hendrix, the, you know, Clapton and all that kind of stuff. And mixed with Kravitz and Alice in Chains. It's like a heavy blues, grunge, rock vibe, you know. And people have been very receptive to it. And so we've just been booking a ton of shows and people are loving it. And I think the big man upstairs. I'm a believer, man, so I love it. Thank God.
I feel you. Good for you, man. Thanks. Good for you. Yeah. That's great. I'm glad that that is treating you well, for sure. Yeah. Are you touring at all these days, or are you looking at getting out?
No, I want to so badly. Like we were talking about earlier, you know, we got tons of music and just kind of figuring out how to put, you know, we see a whole picture, but what puzzle piece is going to go where, you know, and just Java wise and how to, you know, get that whole political side of it, you know what I mean? And
Right. Yeah, sometimes, you know, you got to play ball in this industry. And sometimes playing ball, you're just trying to figure out what game it is that we're playing. Yeah. You know,
that's play ball, drink beer. No, I'm
playing. Yeah. So it's totally like that, man. It's totally.
It totally is.
Tommy is one of these artists who is so versatile. He can go from, you know, the heavy rock stuff to really funky stuff, really jazzy stuff, really acoustic singer-songwriter type stuff. I mean, he's all over the map in a great way. And all of it kind of, you know, it all fits together. And it really does take the listener on quite the journey. Well, tell me about you, bro. Tell us about who you are. Let's just start from the beginning, man. Where are you from? Tell us about, you know, growing up and how you came to music.
Well, my favorite color is, no, I'm just kidding. No.
What is your favorite color?
Right. Aquamarine. No, it's me. I'm just kidding. No, man. Born and raised Indianapolis, Indiana. Started playing guitar when I was 8, actually. And a friend of mine had this guitar in his closet, his brother did, and, you know, they're all playing Halo and stuff, and, like, I'm a big, you know, nerd gamer head too at the same time, but he had smashed this guitar, and it had 3 strings on it, half the body was missing, and, like, this is, like, a Walmart guitar, like, it's only, like, this big, you know.
It's, like, 3/4 size or something like that, totally, or, like, half, you know, size, right?
Yeah. And, excuse me. So, I just found this guitar in the closet, and like I said, it was like it had a 9-volt in it with the speaker built into it, you know what I'm saying? And like just trashed.
Right.
And, it had 3 strings on it, man. And so I picked it up, and for some reason, like, I just couldn't put it down and just was messing with it, tuning it and figuring it out. And so when it was like my turn to play Halo, or whatever, I'm like, no, like, you guys go ahead. Like, I'm good. Like, I'm cool. Like, I'm going to figure this out, you know? And so by the time, like, the end of the night came and my mom and dad came to get me, and so I was like, well, here's your guitar back. And they were like, well, you can just have it. And I'm like, I can, like, are you, like, I, like, I, like, I cherish this thing. So I get in the car and I have this guitar, and my dad looks back and he sees the guitar and goes, what the fuck is that? And I go, this is my new guitar. Like, this is my new guitar. What are we talking about? And he looked at, and like, he was born in the 50s, so he's like, you know, 1953, so he's old school, but really cool, chill, laid back. But anyways, he looks at my mom and goes, well, cool. And he just drives off, we're cool. And so I get home, and I was, you know, supposed to go to sleep for school the next day or whatever. And I was like, can I please, like, just have 5 more minutes with this instrument? And he looked at me, he's like, okay, you can have 5 more minutes with it. And like, he just watched me sit on the couch that's like tuning it and talking to me about, like, what, you know, it does and why I like it and whatever. So anyways, now you're really gonna laugh. That following Christmas, so like 3 or 4 months later, Santa brings me a guitar, and right. And I'm 8, and they let me in my ass believe for way too long. No, I'm just kidding. anyway, Santa brings this guitar, and I'm like super excited. And this was like when YouTube like first came out. So I went on YouTube and just like watched like people play guitar, and I can't read music to this day. And so I would just do guitar lessons, and they would go, your first finger goes here, and you know, you obviously get all that. And so I just did that and just like learned every Green Day song in the world, because at that time I loved Green Day. It was in really punk rock, you know. You know how it was like this like big revitalization of like emo night and like all the emo bands back in the day, back growing up and stuff. So, but like that was when it was happening. So I was really into that. So I was really a heavy rocker. And so my mom and dad saw I was really serious about it. And then something broke on the guitar. And then my dad was like, well, we'll just have to take it back to Sam Ashton. I go, I thought Santa brought it. And like in that moment, like I started crying. And, no, that's not badass, seriously.
Oh, and, wow.
And he was like, well, shit. He was like, yep, we've been saying it the whole time. So, but anyways, long story short, they saw I was very serious about it. And so they would take me to the music stores and just to be inspired, see another guitar and just play it. So in November of 2006, my mom and dad just surprised me one day with an Epiphone SG, like just like Angus Young's guitar.
Nice.
Epiphone SG, like G400 or something like that. And like we pulled in Guitar Center, and like I knew what was happening, and like I'm screaming my head off. I was like, I'm 10 at this point. Yeah, they surprised me with this guitar, and my dad said, "Don't ever stop playing this. You never know what can happen. You never know who you meet, and you never know where to take you." Wow. And I'm like, I'm holding on to this guitar, like, okay, and like Roadrunner, boom, like the dust flies up, boom, like when he's done, you know.
Right.
And then, unfortunately, a month later, he 6 days before Christmas, he died of a heart attack.
Oh man.
But ever since then, it was like I remember him saying that. And dude, within like days later, I swear to God. So his funeral was December 23rd. He died the 19th. His funeral was the 23rd. Super quick. Like he just canceled his life insurance. All this craziness.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, it was hell, man. We had to move and all this stuff. But during all that time, all this craziness, we were out to dinner at a restaurant in Indianapolis called Marco's, which is no longer there anymore. It closed down because of COVID and all that crap. But I look out the window and I swear to God, I see my dad next to a dumpster. He's wearing a white, and he's iridescent. Like I can see him, like if you're talking with somebody, but you can see what's behind him.
Right.
And the fence was right behind him. He's right next to a dumpster. And you know how people say like your third eye.
Right.
When I made eye contact with him, it was like all of a sudden I felt this message and I could hear him, but I felt him here. And when I made eye contact with him, it was him. I swear to God, because his voice said, "I'm so sorry I can't be there for you. Take care of your mother and do not ever stop playing your music." And like, wow. I jumped out of my seat of the dinner table, swear to God, ran outside to go look for him, to go get him. And like a movie, you know, he's gone obviously. And I come back inside and my mom was like, "What the hell is wrong with my child?" And like, I'm like, "Mom, I just saw dad. He was right there when I made everything I just explained." And she goes, "You just had your first real spiritual experience." And in that moment, I was like, "God's real, heaven's real, music is real." And like, just in that moment, I'm just like, I gave my whole life to it all. And wow. I've never looked back ever since.
Man, and that's heavy. Wow. That's a story right there, man.
Thank you so much.
Unbelievable.
And that's why I play guitar, and that's why I love the blues, because I can relate to all that, you know. And even though I was still kind of a punk rocker in that kind of a time,
right.
But then I joined a gospel band, St. Luke's United Methodist Church in Indianapolis, and some of the best, amazing gospel musicians you could ever imagine, man. And it taught me so much. And when I moved, my neighbors, Pete and Nancy, Pete brought me over some records. It was like Clapton and Peter Frampton and a bunch of other blues records. And at the time, I was kind of like, it's okay. Like Peter Frampton, I really kind of was like, okay, he's really cool. But Clapton kind of was like, it's all right, it's okay. You know, I kind of didn't get it at the time. But then I went on YouTube during kind of the same time, and I found Steve Ray Vaughan playing Voodoo Child at the Elma Combo.
Yeah, man.
And I watched that video over and over and over and over. And I went, that's how I want to play guitar. Right? Like, I changed all my gears. Like, I just dropped everything. I'm done with this heavy chugging, headbanging shit. Like, I'm going to do that now. Like, and then I found out who Jimi Hendrix was after Steve Ray Vaughan.
So of course. You start going down that rabbit hole.
Yeah, right? And oh God, and then it got to, you know, Howlin' Wolf and Muddy Waters and Robert Johnson and, you know, all those guys, man. And
well, I mean, let's go there just for a little bit. Just the reason being, you know, it's so funny because musicians, especially guitar players that kind of cite the whole Stevie Ray Vaughan thing, there's something that happens, right? And you know this because you just touched on it, and I just want to tell everybody a little bit about it if you haven't got it already. What's crazy about the whole Stevie Ray Vaughan thing is usually guitar players will find Stevie Ray Vaughan and be blown away. Yeah. And it is, I mean, it's sometimes it's their introduction to the blues. Sometimes just, you know, a whole new way of playing guitar, that power and that passion. And then you want to know more about other artists and who he learned from and who his heroes were. And then you go down this rabbit hole, man, of Jimi Hendrix, of Albert King, of Muddy Waters, of Howlin' Wolf, and Freddie King. It just goes down and down and down and down. Man, that is the funnest. Funnest. Is that a word? I've always wanted to.
It is. I've always said funnest.
Yeah. Well, let's just go there. It is the most fun rabbit hole to go down.
It is.
And you find some of the most unreal artists. Man, I have to tell you that, I mean, I found some of my favorite artists because of that Stevie Ray Vaughan rabbit hole.
Yeah.
It's a very real thing, man.
It is.
Yeah. So I wanted to bring that just to the forefront because we, you know, as musicians, as guitar players, we get it. We talk about it, right?
Yeah.
And I always wonder about, you know, everybody listening, if they get that rabbit hole, because it really is a massive rabbit hole. So where did it lead you? Did it go down the same, you know, the same path, really?
Man, you know, with that, I mean, so touching on that, but Stevie also did jazz. He did
blues. Yes.
He did the rock thing with Jeff Beck. And, like, you know, they all kind of did the same thing we were talking about in the beginning, and, you know, and that's what kind of inspired me going, man, you know, and he, you know, probably was going to build a horn section and all this, you know what I mean? Like, you know, blues, earth, wind, and fire kind of a thing, probably, you know, and, but yeah, for me, after Stevie, it was like, you know, I found Robin Trower and,
yes,
you know what I mean? Like all those guys, I'm like, what? And then I learned about the British takeover and like that whole thing, you know? And
right.
Obviously I'd known about the Beatles and Zeppelin and all this stuff, but like, it was like, think of like all these like massive tiers, like Zeppelin and all these, like, they're all mainstream and stuff, but it's like right underneath it is like Steve Ray Vaughan. Well, Clapton was up there too, but like the Steve Ray Vaughan and Jeff Beck and like all these like undertows of this massive ocean.
Yes.
And it was
yes.
like the deeper you would dive, the more people you would find, and like BB, Freddie, Albert, you know, all of those guys, you know, and
right.
and what inspired all the massive bands from them. You know what I mean? It was like, so I went down a huge rabbit hole with that, and I loved, you know, and that's also when I started playing. So, also my mom is a musician, performer, full-time singer, songwriter as well. So is my dad. And, so my mom's guitar player died when I was like 12 or 13.
Oh, wow.
And the other one moved away. And so she told me, she was like, Tommy, if you learn all my songs and all my music, I will take you out as my full-time guitar player and pay you like I would pay anybody. And so, like, then I started learning, like, Sade, Al Green, George Benson.
Wow.
Larry Carlton and Robin Ford. And like,
you're 12?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. And I dove head in first and on top of Steve Ray Vaughan and Hendrix and
right.
all these guys. And,
and that was because of your mom. Your mom's like, I'm going to throw you to the lions right now.
Yeah. No, literally. And she saw how serious I was about it. And so she was like, I believe in you. I think you can do it. And I sat there and practiced. I was in my room 8 hours a day. I swear to God, totally blew off school, staying school kids, but I totally did though. I was doing gigs during the week and the weekends, with my mom, and smooth jazz and R&B and, you know, like, Jill Scott and like Chaka Khan and,
yeah,
really, really cool, you know, funky R&B, like stuff that moves you and makes you just feel good and, you know, love music, you know what I mean? And it was just, I love it all, man, you know? And I feel like the blues has helped that and the gospel thing helped that. And like, I had so much to learn and I kind of just gave literally all my time to music. And I was kind of a weirdo, but, you know, I said had friends and made life and everything happened. And I played guitar for a bunch of events in school eventually. And in middle school, I played the Star Spangled Banner for football games and basketball games and stuff.
Oh, nice.
And I was just always just a really loving person. But what sucked is I was the kid, like, it was known that his dad died and shit. I'm like, oh, great. And I'm this guy now. But
right.
But then when I kind of played, I feel like guitar and my whole music is my testimony to how you can get dealt a really shitty ass hand, but make something, well, just the best you can out of it, you know, and make it for a grateful and higher purpose, and to help other people with it, you know what I mean? And, you know, share your pain with people, but end up, you know, being grateful for it, not wanting to change a thing, because I found God through all of it, and music, and Steve Ray Vaughan, and all the of the, you know, all these people, and my experiences, and Doug Pinnick, and all these huge, amazing, and you know what I mean? And just,
oh man,
everything, man.
Yeah, me. You say Doug Pinnick, and then you have me in there, and it's like, huh?
Oh, man.
Doug is, we're going to be going there for sure, because you and Doug are very tight, and I definitely want to get into that friendship. I find that story that you just told me so fascinating, because you are one of the most versatile artists I think I've come across in a long, long time. Thanks. Where you hear those influences, you wear them. You like your heart on your sleeve, man. You wear them, and you could be listening to one of your tunes that's so heavy, it's so rocking, but you'll catch just a little bit of that soul vibe, or that R&B kind of thing, or, you know, you'll go gospel, or you'll play a run on your guitar and it's jazz. And it's just one of those things that just makes your head spin, and really gives those little bits of ear candy, if you will, right? There's something for everybody with what you're doing, man. So how did you really come to define your sound when you started playing? Now, granted, it was one of those things where you obviously played with your mom, and you found, yeah, the gospel thing, and you found Stevie Ray Vaughan. But when you decided to start writing, and you, yeah, started to do your own thing, how did you come up with the Tommy Baldwin sound?
I'm so glad you said that, because after I had gotten to the point where my mom like wanted me to take like kind of further guitar lessons, so like I call him my sensei, my guitar sensei, Mr. Sir James Simmons, the baddest motherfucker you will ever hear on guitar. Ever, man. Like,
nice.
He is up there with all of them. Like, he should be famous with everybody. So when I was about 13 years old, 13 or 14, we invited James over one day. He was like, he's like, Lisa, my mom, he's like, I really don't teach people, because I just don't have the patience for it. And so when we sat down and started jamming, like, it was just one of those moments that just clicked. And he was like, I could tell you, it was like, okay, like what the white boy playing all this shit for, you know, like,
right, right.
But it was in the most loving way, though, you know. And it was like, it was so, and that's always been our camaraderie and our loving thing, you know what I mean? It's so sweet. And he taught me, you know, stylization and the difference between fast vibrato and slow vibrato, when to do it, when to, you know what I mean, placement of things, what not to play, you know, when to not just, you know,
right,
do whatever, you know. And so he is like the core, probably the main core element to my sound, is Sir James Simmons, I swear to you. And without him, I would not be the guitar player or musician I am, because he would show me, you know, jazz chords, and all of a sudden I would just take off on this idea, and he'd go, wait a minute, hold on, wait, no, I've got this and this, and I go, I don't know what any of this is called, but I know my hands go here, and they play this, and it sounds like this. And he's like, that's called an E major 7, that's called it, and just kind of taught me the whole thing behind it. And, you know, ever since then, it was like, just, I just ran with it, man. You know, it was like I just learned how to walk again, you know, or in a totally different kind of a way.
Sure.
Musically. And I was so excited, and I still am, you know. And just thinking about, you know, this is re-inspiring, man. It's me now, so I love this.
Good. No, and this is great. It's inspiring me just listening to you, man. So this is cool.
But so Sir James is like been my sensei, you know. And I love, and we played together too. We were in my mom. We ended up forming two guitar players for my mom's group, and my drummer, who was in my Tommy Baldwin trio, when I wrote the bunch of music way before I had met Doug. When I was in high school, I'd formed a band when I was 15. And I wrote all these songs, and the drummer played with my mom's jazz group. So we're playing in two bands full time during the week when I was 14, 15, 16,
17, 18. Wow.
Ever since then.
Ever since then. How old are you now?
I just turned 26.
Of course. Man, unbelievable. You got to hear this. In fact, let's just go ahead and get into this right now. We're going to get back into this conversation. We're going to go ahead and play a song called Gun in Your Hand off of your Phases record. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, so met Doug. We wrote this song together. And when I said met Doug, it's like that's a total blanket thing. We wrote and he produced and played bass on this. And it was during that time of when like a lot of, like even still now, like a lot of shootings are going on and shit. And so the lyrics are, oh man, look at him go, another one down, another one knows that you can't run around town with a gun in your hand, because everyone knows that. Because like either you'll get shot or vice versa, you know what I mean? Like it's right. Always this whole thing, you know, and it's like, well, shit, another one down, another one knows that you can't go run around town with a gun in your hand. Everybody knows that. Like, you can't do that shit, you know? And the lyrics between it, as far as the verses, it was like, you always want to help and love on somebody, and then you can only do so much because, oh, man, look at the, you know, it's, so it's kind of a thing. But, yeah, love it.
There you go. Gun in Your Hand by Tommy Baldwin right here on The Approach. Well, that's Gun in Your Hand by Tommy Baldwin, my guest on The Approach. Man, before we got into this tune, you were talking about getting together with Doug Pinnick.
Yeah.
Let's go there. We had learned about Tommy growing up and how he got into the guitar. But there's been this very focal point in your career, as far as I'm concerned, man, that revolves around Doug Pinnick of King's X. Absolutely. Tell us a little bit about that.
So I was talking about my drummer, Elijah, and Elijah Pollard, amazing drummer. We've been playing together since we were 15. And he eventually showed me a group called PGP. And this was the year, like, 2014. And I had never even heard of King's X. I had no fucking clue. I didn't.
Wow. Okay.
And so I had actually just fired my bass player at the time. And I was like, man, I want, like, a bass player that's, like, plays real low, like low notes, locking with the kick drum, like grooving, man. So Elijah was like, well, there's this group called PGP that's got Eric Gales, Thomas Pridgen, and because I was really into Eric Gales at that time. Eric is my favorite. Oh my God, love Eric.
Yeah. And now, one of my dearest friends, and I love that guy. Absolutely. Yeah.
We love Eric. Love him. And so I checked out the band. I'm like, they are fucking killing it right now.
Yeah.
And so, huge fan. And so anyways, so I had the opportunity to go to NAMM. And we got the app, and so we were kind of looking through things. Like, I was like, was Eric playing anywhere? And so I looked up and found he's going to be playing at the Eminence booth with him and Tomo Fujita.
Yes, and I was there. Yeah, oh, my gosh. Yeah.
2015, man.
Yeah, man.
And I got there like an hour early. I was like, I'm not gonna miss this. I'm gonna be right here. I'm gonna do this, you know. And this was my first rodeo, so like I didn't know shit. Like,
unbelievable. Oh wow.
And so, got there an hour early, and like Eric and Toma finally show up about an hour later, and they jammed, they kill it. It was amazing. It was great. So when they're done, Eric was like, "Hey y'all, we'll be back here selling CDs, y'all." I'm like, back where? Like, I turn, I'm like, oh no, I'm the last person now. Like, because I was the first, became the dead ass last. Like,
right.
Oh, hell no. But right when I turn around, within two people to me is Doug Pinnick right there. And I go, oh my God, that's the bass player for PGP. Oh my God. Like, I got to go say hi to him. And I got to go tell him that I just fired my bass player and I love the way he plays bass. And I wish I could find somebody who played bass like him, literally. So I walked up to him and I go, hey man, my name is Tommy Baldwin, and I just want to say I love PGP. I love what you play on it. I love what you sing. I had a great voice, great you and Thomas locking in with the kick drum and like the funk groove thing, you know, I love it all. And Eric, you know, sprinkling everything else on top of it, but you guys are just the freaking train driving, you know what I mean?
Right.
And she's like, so what do you do? Like, I'm like, well, I'm a blues guitar player. I lost my dad when I was 10, and I've been on my way ever since. And I want to do this full time professionally and make it one day for all the right reasons and not for glory and fame and all that bullshit. I just want to play music just because I love it and one day support my family doing it. And he was like, so what are you doing here? I was like, well, I wanted to meet Eric, but this line's way too long. I think I'm just gonna just kind of go over here now or something. Just find something else to do. He goes, fuck this line, I'm in a band with him. Grabbed my hand, pulled my ass to the front of the line, and he goes, Eric! And all of a sudden, Eric is in the middle of signing, I swear to God, he's in the middle of signing an autograph. And he looks up and goes, what's up, Doug? And like dropped everything. He's like, what's up, Doug? And like, biggest hug. He's like, oh yeah, hold on. And then gives me, he's like, thank you so much, man. I appreciate you so much. And obviously he's like, hold on 1 second. What's up, Doug? And like, They started talking for a second, and Doug remembered everything I just told him. Go, hey, I want to meet you. I want to introduce you to a friend of mine, and introduced me like we'd known each other for a million years.
Oh my gosh, man!
And I'm sitting here like, oh, hey, man, hi, me. You know what I mean? And he's like, hey, Tommy, nice to meet you, man. You want a CD? I was like, sure. He was like, no, don't worry about it. Here, come on. What's your name again? Tommy. Okay, yeah. Keep on rocking, brother. Hey, great to meet you, man. Doug, love you, bro. He's like, hey, I gotta get back to doing the show, but great to meet you, Tommy. I'm like, hey. I'm just like, what? I'm like, you too. I'm like, you too. But I'm inside my soul freaking out. Like, what the fuck?
Right. Right.
So, and so like I walked out of line, and Doug is like, hey, excuse me for 1 second, real quick. And so he goes and talks to his manager at the time, and who's Smitty. I love Smitty. And I'm sitting up with John. I'm like, if nothing else happens from this, then that, like, that's that's the greatest thing. Like that was how so cool to do that. And all of a sudden, Doug comes back and walks over and goes, "You guys do anything for dinner?" And I'm like, "Nah, man. Like we're just hanging." He's like, "Well, come on, let's go." And ever since then, dude,
that was it.
That was it. And wow. he has been my best buddy in the whole world ever since then. Oh yeah. So after we had just started going towards, so this is at the convention center in NAMM.
Right.
So we're walking. Every two steps, it was Doug Bennett. Hey man. Hey yeah. Let's take a picture. Cool. We're good. Awesome. Love right. you. Thank you. And it's like boop, 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 and then finally, like, we got out of the convention center. And we go into the Hilton or the Marriott or whatever, into one of the restaurants in the lobby, and we all go and sit down and have like an hour and a half, 2 hour meeting. And so, like I said, we just kind of talked and just, you know, got to know each other. He said, come by my booth tomorrow, and I really want to hear you play and sing. So I go there and played and sang for him. He was like, we got to get you on something. Like, we have to get you on something. Like, I really want to help you out just because you have, he's like, you have the thing, whatever, that people look for. I'm like, thank you so much. Like, I don't know what that means. I mean, I don't know, I fucking close my eyes and I put my heart and soul into it. And it's not for like, look at me, like, fuck that, you know?
Right.
No, and it's for everybody else. Like, if anybody else can find comfort in that music or in the moment or whatever, then God bless him and so be it, you know? And so he told me that and I'm just like, thank you, you know? He's like, I think I've got a project coming up that you'll be really, really good on. NAMM ends on Sunday, and we hung out every day just hanging, and he's introducing me to everybody and just throwing me the wolves, and just he is such an amazing person just for, you know, for that. And love Doug. And Doug only does it for people that, like, he knows are good people and, like, he, like, trusts and, know, like, in that moment, like, vibes of people that you just get and you just know, you know. And
right.
You know, it's not just like, oh, hey, everybody, come on. He's like, no, he's very, but he's very loving to everybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah,
you know, same thing with you. Like, you can't get everybody backstage for the fucking, you know what I mean? Z Hop or whatever. You know what I mean?
right. You know what I
mean? So anyways, we meet Doug at, the Rainbow on Sunday and our plane leaves Monday morning. And he was like, hey, so I just heard back and I think we're going to do this Jimi Hendrix tribute record. And if you'd be interested, you can play guitar and sing on it or whatever production needs we need. He's like, come on out, dude. And that is like, that's what got it going, man. And
wow.
And 2 or 3 months later, flew out and stayed with him. And we went and did the record, man. And it's
unbelievable.
It's been buddies, best buddies ever since, man. It's been unbelievable, man.
And so he came in and you guys co-wrote and he produced your Phases record.
So, yes. Yeah, so after the Jimi Hendrix tribute record, the often imitative, never duplicated, which I've actually got on vinyl up in my closet right there.
Nice.
He was like, do you have any originals of your own? I'm like, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've got tons of them. And I just didn't want to be like, hey, can we record my songs and do it? And it's like, I'm never, ever like that. I'm just, if so be it, then so be it. But he asked me, and I was like, yeah. And so I showed him the two songs I had. The first two songs were Working in Progress, even though it should be Work in Progress, but I named it Working in Progress, whatever. And then Save Me. And what's so cool is he had written the song Rescue Me with KXM right at the same time that I had written Save Me, because we were both just in this emotional state of like, can somebody just get me the fuck out of here? Like, I'm just done going through the emotions, you know, and I'm done just doing this, you know. And when we met each other, and then we both told each other the story of Save Me and Rescue Me, we were freaking out on the floor laughing, like, what are the odds of this, man? And I thought it was so cool. And so he was like, well, let's do a record. And I was like, are you serious? He was like, let's open up Pro Tools right now. He's like, let's go. Let's do it.
And wow.
We did it.
And yeah. It's a killing record. If you haven't checked it out.
Thank you so much.
Phase is the name of it. And yeah, it came out a couple of years ago. But man, I still love it. And you definitely catch, you know, Doug's influence on it. I think I told you that it came out. I hear his influence on it, but it's not, it's there, but it's still so you. You know what I'm saying?
He's the reason I found my voice, though, as far as singing wise, like the rock and roll. Like, he practically made me comfortable to be uncomfortable to just fucking sing and just like, he's like, do it. He's like, do it. If you don't mean it, then don't fucking do it. Then let's stop. I'm like, no, I don't want to do that. Like, I'm, he's like, then do it. Then you better be ready. Like, bring everything you got because it's recording. Like, go. And I'm like, all right, shit. And he's like, but think about your diaphragm. And, you know, my mom is also a vocal coach as well. But think about your diaphragm and, like, just go for it. You know, don't be afraid. If you hit a wrong note, push through it. Keep doing it. We'll do it again. Just do it, you know. And,
right.
You know, he really gave me the confidence and taught me the how to sing rock and roll correctly. And for that reason, I will be ever so – I mean, tons of other things. But for that, I'm always – and forever, ever so grateful.
Yeah, him. Man. Well, I mean, his influence has definitely helped you. His coaching has definitely helped you. You're a fantastic singer as well, as you heard on that last track. You kind of said something. I want to take you back just a little bit because I'm so curious about it. You are one of several young guitar players that were in something called the Brotherhood of the Guitar.
Yeah.
Right, and it's with a world-renowned photographer, Robert Knight, who was kind of behind the whole thing, right? Yeah. Tell us a little bit about the Brotherhood.
Yeah, it's cool, man. I saw the movie Rock Prophecies literally right around the same – well, this is how we got a hold of it. When I was 13 or 14, was when I saw it, my mom and I both wrote Robert an email, and – he was like, okay, how old is he? And, you know, send me a video. So I sent him a video of me playing. He was like, well, he's good. Cool. And a friend of mine, Sadie Johnson, at the same time, actually, too, who's another amazing local artist in Indiana that got on the same – literally, he came to Indiana and shot both of us in the same, like, hour or 2 hours.
Oh, wow.
And but I had known her, previously. And another friend of mine, Mark Basson, kind of helped this – kind of happened go down too, because they'd all been talking and just kind of became this really cool musical, you know, hexagon of everybody working with each other.
Sure.
But that same thing with Django, knew him too, and you know,
Django was in it as well.
I think he was. Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that. I didn't know that at all. Yeah, Django Knight, former guest on The Approach, if you will. Yeah.
Love you, bro.
Yeah, man. Love you, Django.
But yeah, man, so reached out, he emailed back, so he was like, okay, well, I'll be in the area, I'll come this date if you're free, and we'll meet at Guitar Center in the morning at, like, 7. I'm like, oh, hell, like, that's, dang.
For a guy that, how old were you at this point?
I was 15 when this happened.
15 years old, and he probably played 3 gigs that day.
No, man.
Man.
I think I had to, like, be late for school or something that day or something. Because it was during the week or something, you know.
And I'm going to go in and play a gig during my lunch hour. And then I got to go to history. Okay. Oh, man. Yeah. I'm sorry. Continue.
No, you're fine. I'm just so glad those days are over. But yeah, so we did the video or whatever real quick, and then so that was cool. And then it's kind of just been a group of really young, talented musicians that he's found through the world, and honored to be a part of it. And Tyler Bryant was like kind of the very beginning of the whole thing, you know, and everybody.
Right. And he's killing it now, man. He's
unbelievable, man. My God. Yeah,
Tyler's fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Never got to meet him. I never met him yet, but I've love him. I love him. I'm a huge fan of his. And it's been pretty cool, man.
Nice. Well, let's go ahead and get into another tune over here. And we're going to be listening to Inner You. Tell us a little bit about Inner You.
If you can't be yourself, who the fuck you going to be? Because everybody else is taken, practically. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of the whole theory of it. And Doug and I wrote this. And we wrote it in the middle of recording Save Me. and I did a lick wrong or something. And Doug was like, no, wait. I was like, what did I do wrong? He's like, no. He's like, no, play that again. And I played it again. I was like, da 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 da. He was like, let me grab my bass real quick. And we stopped, Save Me. In that moment, he opened up a whole new session, pulled up a real quick ass drum track, and we just started going for it. And then saved whatever like 30 seconds we had. And he was like, let's just go back to this on another day, or like tomorrow, whatever, after Save Me, because this sounds like Linda Kravitz or whatever. I'm like, it does have that funky kind of da 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 da. And so that was the very beginning of it. And so it was written in the middle of writing Save Me. So,
well, there you go. Yeah. Inner You by Tommy Baldwin here on The Approach. Tommy Baldwin, and of course Doug Pinnick somewhere in there, man, doing his magic, man. You got such a cool sound. You got, and again, you are an artist that not only can play stuff like this, release stuff like this, sing stuff like this, but you have so much more to say and show, and that's such a cool thing. Tell us a little bit more about the other sides of Tommy Baldwin.
So there's the heavy rock stuff, and then I have three albums worth of music right now.
Nice.
All three different genres. One's heavy rock, one is like you said, singer-songwriter, more kind of singer-songwriter meets pop, kind of acoustic vibe, and the other one's like there's no guitar in it at all.
Wow.
And it's like arpeggiators and big choruses and sub bass and, you know, kind of the Sade vibe almost even. And so,
nice.
You know, that's the other side of it. And, you know, just trying to figure out live if somebody buys a concert ticket, kind of like John Mayer. That's a really good example, because he's done the pop thing, he's done the blues thing, he's done the rock thing, he's done the R&B pop thing, you know, and it's
right
you know, back to that thing again. But you know, it's just,
I connect with you, Tommy, and you know that we're friends, man.
Oh, yeah.
But I connect with you as an artist because you and I have those kinds of parallels, man. And I urge everybody to just kind of break free of the kind of nearsighted, you know, narrow-minded kind of thing. And, just expand your mind just a little bit. If you don't dig it, you don't dig it. That's fine. Not everybody's going to dig what we do. However, you might find something interesting, man. And if not, you might know somebody that would dig it. And it's being created and presented by a real deal musician. And Tommy, you are a real deal musician, man. Not just a guitar player, but I mean, very well-rounded.
Coming from you, that's an honor, brother.
Oh, hey, man, I'm just calling it like I see it. Where do you see yourself in the next, let's just say, 5 years? What's coming up for Tommy Baldwin?
A lot of music. I'm just going
to
release
three records worth, apparently, man. So you got some stuff to be doing. You got some recording happening.
Yeah. I'm in my studio now. I've got a full-blown production studio in my house, and I always call it the best video game ever. So I'm addicted to it. You know, I'm like I said, I'm a big nerd. I love, you know, all the technology stuff of it. But learning the whole process of it, you know, and then, you know, getting an idea in your head, to your hands, to the DAW, out to, you know what I mean? Like this whole thing. It's the best video game in the world. So I've been playing this game for a long time now and learning everything I can. And I feel like I've gotten pretty decent about it. And I'm really happy about it. But three albums worth of music now that I don't know when I'm going to drop it, but definitely that. And I want to tour with it. I want to be working on that and making more music at the same time. You know, I saw a documentary of, out of all people, God bless him, though, obviously that, of Ed Sheeran, and he got done with a stadium tour, and it's literally just him and his acoustic guitar. Blows that my mind.
Yeah, what people don't realize, man.
Blows my mind.
I've had this conversation. The guy that opened my mind and eyes to it is a guitar virtuoso by the name of Larry Mitchell. Larry is one of my dearest friends. I think the world of him, but he and I were sitting in this very room where I'm talking to you at, and we were talking about the fact that, and this is Larry now. Larry was like, man, there's two guys that have absolutely changed the game within the last decade, at least.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And that's Joe Bonamassa and Ed Sheeran. And I kind of figured Bonamassa just because he kind of eliminated a lot of the middlemen, right? He kind of would rent out the venues and pick his price, and you know, he did that. Yeah. And he continually works and he continually has his brand, and that guy is just a marketing machine. It's unreal. But then there's Ed Sheeran, who was that kind of success story where he would be selling stuff out of, you know, the back of his car, and he just keep on hustling and keep on hustling. Dude, the guy, like you said, would be playing in arenas.
Yeah.
Just him.
It's it.
Nobody else.
Yeah.
So his overhead was nothing. It's just show up and play, get paid a shit ton of money.
Yeah.
He didn't have to do anything with it. That's all him. That's unreal to me.
Yeah.
And people ate it up.
I know.
Oh, man.
Thing he would do, and the vocal loop and the guitar loop. And then after the show, he'd get on the tour bus and start writing the song.
And that's the thing about being an artist, you know?
Yeah.
Music, man, it's like fingerprints, you know? It's something you're born with. Yeah, absolutely. Man, you and I can talk about this all day long. All day long. So we're coming up to the end of the show, man, and usually what I do at the end of the show is I just throw out these rapid-fire questions, right? So you don't think.
Okay.
You just go, okay? Yep. You just think. Yeah. Top three musicians, most inspiring musicians to you, top three.
Jeff Beck, Philip Sayce.
Dude. Philip Sayce.
I love Philip. Real quick, though, can I add two more, if that's okay?
Oh, yeah.
Michael Landau. unbelievable guitar player.
Yes.
Blows my mind. And Michael Thompson.
Wow.
Session guy.
All right.
You know, but I love Hendrix, Steve Ray Vaughan, all those guys. Like, that's
so, well, so that'll be my next thing is top three guitar players for you.
Practically quick to say that, honestly.
Wow. Same old group.
Practically, but also Chris Martin from Coldplay. Like 2006 and, or 2008 Coldplay and like before then. Everything else after that to me, but like what really got me, like they're the best concert I've ever been to. And like it was the Viva La Vida tour. I'll never forget it.
Unbelievable.
Never forget it.
Top three Desert Island records.
Oh man. Rush of Blood to the Head by Coldplay. Definitely. Probably Are You Experienced by Hendrix. Live Plus by Jeff Beck.
Now, here's the last one for you.
Okay.
If there's one song that you wish you wrote, what would it be?
Clocks by Coldplay.
Wow, just right off the bat. So cool, man. Everybody usually is just like, that's a hard one. Right off the bat. Ah, good for you. You're like the first one to just come on in and do it, man. Right on. Tommy Baldwin, where can people find you, bro?
Instagram at Tommy Baldwin. Facebook page at Tommy Baldwin Music. Twitter at Tommy Baldwin 96. Venmo at, no, I'm just kidding.
Keep it going, man. Yeah.
I'm just kidding. Facebook and Twitter. And I have a TikTok, but that's a work in progress.
Same.
Same. I don't even know it, but if you find my name, I hope you find my little face up there. So
Man, I'll tell you, bro, you are doing something really, really special in the fact that you're still so damn young. You got such a bright future ahead of you, man. Guys like Doug Pinnick, like you said, they don't come around and help people they don't want to help, or don't help people if they don't see something in. And you know, I agree with him wholeheartedly. Yeah, you're light years beyond, you know, you're 26 years old, man. So
thank you.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, absolutely. I think the world of you, bro. You know that we're friends. That's and man, thank you so much for hanging with me tonight, man.
Oh,
and,
I'm honored, man. Are you kidding me? I'm so glad to do this.
Yeah, man. This is Tommy Baldwin, everybody. Thank you, bro.
Hey, love you. And don't forget to go check out Ken Valdez's new song, Red, y'all. Hey.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Yeah. Well, there you have it. I want to thank my special guest this week, Tommy Baldwin, my bro. And I want you guys, if you can, to go support Tommy Baldwin. Go find him on his socials. Go check out his music. Go see him live. He is well worth the time and definitely worth the experience. He is an incredible, incredible guitar player, singer, songwriter, musician. You won't be disappointed. And speaking of music, you can check out more of my music at www.kenvaldez.com. Go visit that website. Over there, you can hear my music. Merchandise is there. I got some tour dates coming up. Plus, you can find out more about this show. And there's links to my socials. I love hearing from y'all. Definitely be in touch with me. I will get back to you. If you do like this show and you want to show a little bit of love, go visit me at Venmo. My Venmo handle is at Ken Valdez. You know, this show takes a lot of time, energy, and money to bring guests like Tommy Baldwin to you. And, man, every little bit helps. I'll tell you that right now. Well, that's about it, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. Until the next time, be good to each other. Take care of one another. Bye-bye. Everything is the truth. Forgive me for...